morning, everyone. Glad to see everybody here today. And this is a very special day for our church for more than one reason. Not only is it special because our missionary, Leah Rigsby, is here all the way from Papua New Guinea, but she's playing drums for us today as well. And I've got to tell you something. She sent me an email a few weeks ago, and she said, I want to just give you an overview of what's been happening here on the mission field. And, you know, I thought it was going to be like about a 45-second email. It's more like a 45-minute email. I'm like, this is the Albert Einstein of missionaries right here. It's like, she teaches calculus. She does summer camps. She does... That one was so awesome. By the time I got done, I had to run around the parking lot and shout hallelujah. Man, but we're thrilled to have her back. And every time she's in town, we want to have her come and share with us what's been going on. That's what she's going to do this morning. And so at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Leah. But let's give her a great round of applause, everybody. Thank you, Leah.
All right, before I get started, I know people standing and talking is boring. So we have some hands-on activities to look at. So this is an Audi Bible, and so a language group, they will come to our center, or they will go out to a village and they will gather people from the village who can read, and they will assign parts to people, like you're Peter, you're Mary, you're the narrator, you get to be Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they will read the translated word that, you know, took 20, 25, 30 years to finally come into place. And they will record onto these Audi Bibles, and they are solar powered. So they can just be left outside and then played. They have headphone and speaker jacks and things. And so these are really, really valuable just for people who can't read, and so they can hear the word of God. Because Papua New Guinea is a very oral culture. So speaking and telling stories, sitting around and just storying and telling stories verbally is a huge part of their culture. So having the Bible in that way is awesome. So you can just take a look, pass it around as I'm speaking. And then here on these cards, we have some passages from different languages around the world. We have a language from Indonesia, simplified Chinese, a language from the Philippines, and then, I missed one. And then a language of Nigeria. And so y'all can just take a look at those. And it has the translation of the Bible verse on the inside. And then we have very colorful money that you can look at. I literally pulled this out of my wallet. I need it back at the end because I'm going to go back there, and I use this, so you can look at it. Don't take it. I don't know what would happen if you went up to a bank and asked to exchange this. I don't know. Let's not try. All right. So yeah, my name is Leah Rigsby. I support Bible translation in Papua New Guinea through teaching. Papua New Guinea is way over here on the eastern side. This area here is Indonesia, and so this right here is a part of Indonesia. This side is Papua New Guinea, and yeah, that's where I've been for the past 12 years. I teach math, and yeah, so let's take a look at some stuff. So again, there's a closer up view of where Papua New Guinea is.
Tell them how long it takes you to get there.
Don't steal my thunder.
Sorry.
Okay, 3 hours Dallas to LA, and then 15 hours LA to Brisbane, 3 hours to the capital city of Port Moresby, and then a little over 1 hour flight. Uh-oh, we died. We killed it. There was a problem.
But you know that what she put up there is doesn't include like when you go someplace and you lay over.
Right. Those are just the flights.
So because it ends up taking her, isn't it like 48 hours or something like that?
Usually. So the fun fact, if I leave from America, let's say July 8th, I will land in PNG July 11th, and I will not have had a July 10th. If I go from PNG, I can leave July 8th and then get back to Dallas July 9th. And it will have been July 8th for like 36 hours. So, international travel is super fun. Oh, we get to watch it again. So just in case it didn't sink in. And hopefully the computer won't explode and we'll be okay.
18, 21.
And then up to Ukurumpa. So Ukurumpa is the name of the center, the mission center where we live. And from Ukurumpa, we have an aviation department that will fly and take people to all parts of the country. This is a overhead video of our center. This is the school. This is our school's soccer field and track and our basketball court. Oh, wait, we have to pan down to the river. All right, so this is a river that we'll go tubing in and things like that. And we are back onto the center. I teach in this classroom right here. We're coming back. And yeah, and so all of these buildings, that's our store. This is a gymnasium to play in. This is our clinic. Our clinic serves not only missionaries, but the people of the Ayura Valley where our center is located. Over here we have our church building, our directorate where all the important stuff happens. And yeah, and then houses, about 500 people living on center, and about half of them are expats, and the other half of them are Papua New Guineans who live and work on center and support Bible translation just like we do as expats. All right, so Papua New Guinea, this is a size comparison to Texas. So Papua New Guinea is a little bit smaller in land mass. It's a little bit smaller in land mass than Texas. It's about the land mass size of California. And then they have a population of about half of California, which is around 17 million people. They had been for a really long time reporting their population size as 10 million, but then they realized that there were all of these like villages that had never been put on the census report because they didn't know there was a census. So they upped their estimate to 17 million. Could be as much as 20 million. There are between 830 and 850 languages in Papua New Guinea. Not in the world, in Papua New Guinea. Okay? Why wouldn't there be an exact number? Why is there a fluctuation? One, languages can grow and languages can die out. So there's anywhere between this many languages at a given time, depending on number of speakers. If the speakers of that language pass that language down to their children and next generations. So it's always in flux, but it's always around that number. Okay. The language groups range from dozens of speakers to 200,000 speakers of the largest language group in Papua New Guinea. And I'm going to spoil something next. The language group that has 200,000 speakers, they just had their Bible dedication in July. The largest mother tongue language spoken in Papua New Guinea just got their Bible this year. So that's amazing. There are around 500 of those 850 with scripture portions or more, meaning an entire New Testament. There are about, last I looked, there was 13, I think, languages that have the full Bible, Old and New Testament. So when we talk about a Bible dedication, we're meaning the New Testament. So not necessarily the full, complete Bible. And then as we don't just wait until the entire translation is done, if they finish the Book of Mark, we're going to print it, hand out the Book of Mark. They finish the book of the Gospel of John, finish it, print it, get out the Gospel of John. So with scripture port, that's what we mean by scripture portions. And there are around 250 languages with no scripture whatsoever. Okay, so what do I do? I teach the children of translators, pilots, audio Bible sound engineers, that audio Bible that you're passing around, Bible translation computer programming trainers, PNG Bible Translation Association members. So the PNG Bible Translation Association, or we call it BTA, that is made up of Papua New Guineans who were like, great, thank you all for coming over and wanting to translate the Bible. This is great. We're going to make our own association and go out and do stuff too. We're like, we will partner with you. Yay. So the Papua New Guinean Translation Association, mechanics and construction workers, Papua New Guinean doctors, business owners, lawyers, and center employees. So our school, it's a private Christian school, obviously, and it is open to not just expat students of expat staff, but also Papua New Guinean commercial commercial people who see the Christian school and the education level and are like, we want to send our kids there. So we are able to minister to students in that way who maybe don't come from a Christian household.
Nice.
Children of tech support and missionary doctors and our clinic staff. So those are the kids I teach. Look, here are some of them. Look at us having a happy, wonderful time. Okay, so not only do I teach, this is a photo from last year's youth retreat. So how many of you, either as a kid yourself or you have students who you have sent to summer camp, summer youth camp? We can't do that. There is no summer youth camp in Papua New Guinea for us to send our children to, so we make one happen. And by we, last year, I made it happen because we didn't have a youth director. So when I say youth director, think youth pastor. We didn't have one last year, and so me and a few friends were like, okay, let's do it. We will be the youth director with our other full-time jobs, and we will make our youth retreat happen. So these are all the students that came to our youth retreat. This is grades 9 through 12, so this is a good picture of our school student population. And so all of the adults in this picture work on center in some capacity and took time out of their week to run a youth camp for 4 days. So,
are any of them like natives that aren't part of Wycliffe and everything, or are they all children of the workers?
I'm looking like at specific children. All the kids in this picture, their family works on the center, except for his dad. His dad is a lawyer in Papua New Guinea, and he does arbitration and peacemaking, and he's an incredibly devout Christian. He's like a very top leader in Papua New Guinea who is a Christian, and he like goes and does peacemaking between people who are fighting and just have, he's an amazing guy. So, yeah.
All right.
Okay, what else do I do in PNG? Not only do I teach math, I got to play in the pit orchestra for our production of Charlie Brown the Musical. And so I got to play percussion, but not only did I get to play percussion, I got to create a class that taught the students how to run lights and sound for the musical. So we're gonna take a look. I think that's what's next. So I'm playing the drums. Oh no, it's the videos, that's what's going on the computer. It's okay. And there's one of my students, he's being the kite that is being sung about from the light. So yeah, it's a fun time of not just teaching math, but also other skills that they can take back into America. Now a whole bunch of students are serving our church service by running sound and things like that too. So that was a cool class to be able to run.
Leah, were you playing, you weren't looking at drum music, were you?
Yes.
Oh, you were. I kind of noticed that you were concentrating.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I've coached before. This was after we beat our rivals, the other expat missionary school. And then they were like, Miss Rigsby, come play soccer. And I was like, I don't know how. And they were like, great. So I went and played soccer with them, played volleyball against them. Because, you know, in America, we have our districts, right? And then every week you have, like, practice on Monday, game on Tuesday, practice on Wednesday, game on Thursday. We don't have districts over there. Everything leads up to a tournament. So we give our kids practice games against, you know, us old ladies, and then we beat them, and it's great. And yeah, so just hanging out with the students. And you really get to build a relationship with them, just interacting with them. They don't just come into my class, see me, and then leave. We're together, and I'm able to speak into their lives. I also had the opportunity this year, one of our music teachers, he gave students an opportunity to lead worship, and so we went out to four different places, set up, they played worship music that they had learned, and then one of our partner organizations, Reformed Ministries, he preached the gospel to giant crowds like this. Because Papua New Guinea is great because you can go to an area where there's a market, and then if a bunch of expat children start setting out music equipment, a crowd will form. And then if the children start singing and playing instruments...
Are they singing in English?
They were singing in English, but this year they're going to, I think, they're going to do this again and then sing in pidgin. So PNG has a kind of a trade language that almost everybody knows called Tok Pisin, but it's very... The Tok Pisin Bible is like this thick, the New Testament, and then indigenous language New Testaments are about this thick, and the reason the Pidgin Bible is this thick is because there's no word for grace in Tok Pisin. Because Tok Pisin was a trade language that came about by people needing to say, I will sell you oranges, you will sell me a cow. Great. You don't need the word for grace when you're trading goods and bartering and stuff. So it's this thick, yeah. Wow. Anyway, and so yeah, they're going to do it this year. They're going to sing more songs in Tok Pisin, and the kids are probably going to give testimonies. But this was just kind of a trial run. And so yeah, they were singing in English. Many Papua New Guineans do speak a little bit of English, and they know a lot of praise and worship songs in English, so it was okay. They could.
So did they have a translator of the message of the sermon?
No, he was speaking in Pidgin.
Really?
Sorry, the sermon was in Pidgin. Oh, yeah. He came. He knows the language and speaks in Pidgin. And one of the greatest compliments that I heard one of the people from the crowd give the preacher was, he said, when other people come preach, it's about what day we should worship on. Because there's a large SDA, Seventh-day Adventist presence, and they worship on Saturdays. And they're like, yeah, one street preacher says, you worship on Saturday. One says, you worship Sunday. And they argued. And they looked at him and they said, you preach the gospel. And we want the gospel. And so that was amazing to just have not only a crowd of people to hear the gospel, but to recognize, like, this arguing and backbiting, that's not what Christianity is. That's not what it's for. You spoke truth. So that was cool. And why was I there? I ran sound, because that's apparently what I do now. The other thing I got to do at the end of last year was, how many of you went to prom? Or had a student that went to prom, or the end of school big dance, or whatever. The parents and the teachers, we create prom for our kids, and part of that tradition, I don't know when it started, I just know it was happening when I got there, is we write a play in which the parents of the children act as their children in the play. And so at the end of last year, this was in the end of May, I had the honor of writing that play. And then me and my friend Alan, we were not acting as any of the children, we were just extra characters. And then I love this picture because I was like, oh good, I wrote good. Look at that. So yeah. So just serving our students in that way. So that is a picture of what I do and PNG, and all that is good and fun and stuff, but why? It's so I can show the students Christ. Christ love and what that looks like. Because just like there are stereotypical preacher's kids, stereotypical MKs who, you know, leave the faith for this reason, that, or the other, I want to combat that. And that is my secondary mission while I am there, other than supporting Bible translation, is to show these kids Christ's love so that they have good examples of adults who, you know, are faithful to the Lord and they can experience God's love. Because living over there is hard. There's a lot that these kids miss out on. And every couple of years they go back to their home country, or whether that's America or Australia or wherever, they're like, I can't relate. Supposedly I'm from America, but I look American, but I haven't grown up here, and now everyone thinks I'm weird. I can't relate to them. Ugh, why did my parents make me go over there and come back and be weird? Now I have to come back and go to college, and I don't know what to do. And so to just really get these kids solidified in their faith, so that they are not tempted to walk away for whatever reasons and things like that. So that is why I do all these fun things. All right, so now we're going to transition to what I'm supporting, which is Bible translation. We have a video. Hopefully it plays and doesn't die. If it does, I'll restart it. This is the Bible translation of the Enga language group. This Bible dedication of the New Testament happened in July of this year, and that was the language group of 200,000 speakers that I spoke about earlier. And there should be sound.
Enga is the largest vernacular language in Papua New Guinea. What they call Enga people are go-getters.
They're influential in the capital city, Port Moresby, where they work as business leaders, leaders in the government, and they tend to be the movers and shakers. And so making sure that the Enga people have a translation of the New Testament is very important because they're influencing the rest of the country.
English is not our language, and Pidgin is not our language too. Hearing and reading the Bible in Pidgin, the meaning of the word God is not very clear. Somebody was Pidgin. You know what he did? He didn't read it in talk Pidgin and then translated it with his Bible. That I don't know. It's not accurate. The missing letter point or the adding letter point. That's not accurate. I want them to read it and understand the full message as it is. So that is why some of us came together and found out that we should translate the Bible into Enga.
It is not that, you know, one particular group or one particular church took initiative to translate this. No. All the churches in Enga, the church generation, we come together and to translate this Bible, and now it's coming to in our hands now.
I was speaking to a group of pastors, and I read a couple of passages from the Sermon on the Mount. They heard these passages before in English or Tok Pisa, but when they heard it in Enga, they got so excited that they started clapping and cheering. And so that just gives you a sense of how excited many people are to receive the Enga New Testament. We faced a number of challenges. The first challenge is the difficulty of the language. People are always so surprised to hear a foreigner speak Enga, because Enga is really hard to learn. It's really hard to translate. The structure is so different from English. But probably the biggest challenge that we've had is dealing with tribal fighting. Tribal fighting is just a major problem in Enga province. One of our translators, William, he can't leave his house because if anybody sees him walking around, just because he's associated with a certain tribe, his life is at risk. We've had other translators' houses burned down in fighting, and it seems like every step of the way we've been impeded from our work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we forget that translation work is more than just translation. It's about relationships. It's about seeing lives transformed. Often, when a man stands up for peace in Enga, they call him Merima, which means basically they're calling him a woman because he's standing up for peace. But I remind them, I say, don't worry about what other people call you. Worry about what God calls you. And God says that when you stand up for peace, that He will call you a son of God. And I want to see the Enga people taking Jesus at His word and living in peace.
I wonder, people who love God and hear the story of it, they acknowledge and believe, it's the Christ who died. Christ died for all people. When we are to move, we're all as a Muslim. For Christ, my come to all people and understand the love of God.
So all the videos that I'm gonna show people I'm gonna talk about, I teach their kids. So Adam and they showed his wife and his daughter for a little bit. I taught his daughter pre-cal last year, and I've taught both of his other sons. Susan Fry, who made this video, I teach her son. And yeah, so it's just really cool to, like, because we sit there and we teach math, and oh yeah, you know. Bella's dad's a translator. I don't know what Adam does on the day to day, but like seeing that, it's like, and you know, he gets to do that and doesn't have to teach his daughter math because I get to do that. That's great. This is a map showing the work that has Bible translation going on in PNG. It started in 1956 and this was updated in 2022. This is the latest info. And so the colors. Yellow is where we are working right now. Orange is where we are still working and they have a New Testament. So orange has a New Testament. And then this purple has a full New Testament. And then this blue is we've worked with before. So the main colors are orange and the pink or purple, whatever color you think this is. This color and the orange, they have New Testaments. Yellow, it's being worked on right now. This light pink area, no one lives there, so we don't need a Bible there. So that's not a bad color. All right. And so as you can see, we're covering a lot of ground. There's still more to be done, but a lot has happened in, what is that? I teach math. Can I do the math? 66 years. So, yeah. I kept looking at all of these videos and I was like, I can't just show them 18 videos. So I have pared it down, but I do have another short one, so.
Pastor and people are starting to come up on dedication, Bible dedication. Bible and people are working long throughout time to become. And it was 41 years we have been working and becoming a family now.
So there was a community church established early on by 1985, and they didn't have the Bible in their own language, and they very much wanted it. So they appointed two translators who got to work with a notebook and a pencil. And eventually those two sent a letter to SIL to ask for help in doing their Bible translation. And we got a hold of that letter and God used that to bring us to allocate with the Kaluli in 1991.
So the Kaluli people live in a very remote corner of the rainforest in Papua New Guinea, in Southern Highlands. They live on the slopes of an 8,500-foot volcano and they carve their lives out of the jungle. Takes about five.
No. Keep going. No.
So close.
It's okay. We'll just play the video and not the PowerPoint. Kaluli, that part, we saw that.
He's talking great.
Papua New Guinea and Southern Highlands. They live on the slopes of an 8,500-foot volcano, and they carve their lives out of the jungle. It takes about 5 days to walk to the nearest road, and then quite a distance from there to get to a town. So they have a lot of interaction with each other, but very little interaction with the outside world. Sylvia mentioned the two translators that the church appointed back in 1985. Those two men have continued to be faithfully working with us, and one of the amazing things about our team is that everyone that the church has appointed since then is still working with us today. So the church provided many, many people to be involved, and we feel like that's part of why they are so excited about these scriptures, is because they were very much involved in producing them. They wanted to know when each plane was going to come. And so I started to tell them when I would come, and when Sylvia would come, and when some of the other guests were coming. And they said, no, we want to know when the Bibles are coming. And so when we landed with the Bibles, there were hundreds of people gathered, and the translators came out to the airplane, so they picked up each box. And they carried them to a gateway. And there the pastors were all gathered on the other side of the gate. And then the translators all proceeded to hand cartons of scriptures over to the pastors. And for me, that was just a beautiful moment of the translator saying, we've worked on these things for many, many years, and now it's time for you to take over the work and take these scriptures and make sure they get into the hands and hearts of the people. When it came time to distribute them and sell them, the crowd just pressed forward, and it was almost difficult to find whose hand was holding this money, because they were all pushing forward and all eagerly trying to get a copy of the scriptures in print, or these audio, the MP3, solar-powered MP3 players. The Kaluli can't imagine gathering together for a big celebration without celebrating and eating together. And they roasted 17 pigs to feed this huge crowd of people, but mostly to celebrate together, to acknowledge the importance of this moment of the scriptures arriving, and saying, this is a day that we want to always remember, and this is a day that we want to celebrate with everything that we have.
How many Bible did Jason in Bibla? Something for God in marking. It's that day, any special day, we will be glad coming people. We are almost remembering. No kissing, looking at kissing, because talking at life, sleep is that inside of Bible, book Bible.
Papua New Guinean translators, they were speaking pidgin. So that's why you could hear some of the English words, because, right, and things like that. They have borrowed words. Yeah, and so one of the reasons why it's so hard to pare down, like, I should show them videos for 45 minutes, is because this is really, I guess, last furlough when I was back in the States in 2021, and now I'm back in 2024. Those two furloughs were really the first ones where we've had media like this, because when I first got to PNG, they would set up your computer, you would connect to the internet, and then they would tell you, okay, go in and turn off all of your pictures turn off all your pictures on Facebook because the internet costs 10 cents per megabyte. And I was like, I don't know what that means. I'm gonna download a thing off of iTunes. So I downloaded a 1-hour comedy special that cost on iTunes $10. And after it was all said and downloaded, the download cost me $30. And then before I went to PNG, I would make little YouTube videos. And so you would video a little bit, and then you would set the resolution way low so that you could upload it, and it would only cost you $20 to $30 to upload something. Oh. Now, we just got connected to Australia via a fiber internet cable, and so we can, like, this, like, look at it. The video is so good. The media is so good. And we can share it now because we can produce it and not have to pay $11 billion to upload to the internet. So, like, it, man, the technology and the advances from that, it's so great. One of my favorite stories is from the 90s in PNG, you know, before I was there. In the 90s, they would, what would you do? You would bring, like, I don't know if it was a floppy disk, maybe. You bring a floppy disk to the director's office, and you would put your email onto the director's computer. They would save everyone from center's emails onto a hard drive. A pilot would fly the hard drive to the capital city of Port Moresby, connect to the internet there, send out everybody's emails, retrieve everybody's emails, fly the hard drive back to center, and then distribute. Yeah, so, and that was the late 90s, early 2000s, and now we have super HD video happening. And now I'm currently tutoring a student in PNG in math while I'm here via video FaceTime. Oh, it's yeah. It's crazy, just the technology, so yeah. This next very short 1 minute video is talking, remember how I said there wasn't a word for grace in Tokpisin? This talks about that, but in a different language. And I guess we won't make PowerPoint do it, because that seems to be killing me. Okay.
Hi, we're Scott and Sherry Stover, and we work with the Mato people in the Morobe province of Papua New Guinea.
One of the areas that we work on in translation is translation of key terms. The Mato people don't really have a word for love. We didn't know what to use for grace. They came up with a term that they felt described the most important aspects of grace. That is, someone doing something for someone else, whether they deserve it or not. They had this expression that says someone's liver snaps apart for the other person. The word for snap apart is like if they would take some bush rope and use it as a clothesline, and after a while it gets a little dry and it snaps apart in the middle, which is releasing tension. And liver is where the most intense emotions live. Now, when we talk about God's grace to them, it is all the tension being released in the relationship because God has decided to give us something that we don't deserve. We don't need to have that tension in our lives once we've asked for forgiveness. God has built into every culture special ways to express things that another culture can't do.
So just, the linguistic capabilities that these translators have is amazing to me, to just be able to explain the concept of grace to a language group, and then to be like, is there any word in your language that describes this? And it's like, well, not in the context you're using it, but, you know, if someone does something they don't deserve, we have this phrase for it, and it's like, great, yes. That's the one to be able to use. So, yeah. All right, so next. I called this extracurricular because I couldn't think of another word for it. Benefits of Bible translation in PNG. So this right here, Freddie and Ruthann, they are former students of mine, and they were able to go to our recording studio where they do the media for Bibles. But not only Bibles, they recorded for a grammar app to help children in school learn Tokpisin. And so not only is this recording studio used for Bible translation, but also, you know, other things, anything that needs to be recorded, anything you need vocals on to help some sort of media literacy, or not media literacy, just any literacy. And two of my former students were able to take part in that. This story, these pictures come from a story from one of my students' dads who is a pilot. I'm just going to read it to you. A lady living in a remote village gave birth. Due to complications, she lost a lot of blood. When our aviation department was informed, our team swung into action to get the plane ready to fly. Some workers installed a stretcher in the plane. Others filled the plane with fuel. Another pilot filed the flight plan, and I completed the pre-flight inspection. From our center, I flew over the mountain range, landed at the sloped, bumpy airstrip just down from the peak. The patient was barely conscious and extremely weak as we loaded her into the plane. I got her strapped into the stretcher, and we bounced out, literally. As we descended into Medang, the town with the nearest town with the hospital, she wasn't moving, and I was bracing myself for what I'd find after landing. She responded a bit as the doors were opened and the ambulance was waiting to drive her to the hospital. As she stared blankly at the ceiling, I reminded her that she is in God's hands and that God is her healer, her doctor, and her everything. About the time I started to think I'm wasting my breath, tears streamed down her face and she whispered, "Thank you," and attempted to wave. I heard that weak thank you loud and clear. She was a lady on the brink of death just trying to thank her pilot. We will probably never meet again, but we both had tears in our eyes as we parted ways, our lives forever impacted. So our aviation department not only delivers Bibles, takes translators to allocations, but when we receive an emergency like that one, we are able to go and get people to the hospital and do medevacs as well. So I'd say that's a pretty good extracurricular thing that we're able to do. This is a former student of mine, Ellie, and her mom. And she's working in her parents' village, and I'll read this story. Alpha Tiles is an app developed by SIL Global to promote literacy. It features up to 114 games and activities designed for children and new readers. Chris and Amy Rice, translators working in the Vanongan language of Morobe, learned about the Alpha Tiles app in 2023 and immediately began working on a Vanongan version of the app. So Chris is not only a translator, he's like super, super computer like tech savvy. And he's like, there's an app, we're gonna translate it. The app leads readers through basic letters and sounds in the Vanongan alphabet before introducing full words. When the app was released, the Vanongan Bible translation team members were so excited and engrossed in the app that they could hardly put down the tablet they were using. The following afternoon, local children spent 2 to 3 hours outside the translation office playing the Alpha Tiles games, stopping only when the tablet was retrieved at the end of the workday. Praise the Lord for new technologies that promote literacy among the various language groups of Papua New Guinea. And so what we see Ellie doing here is she's recording the audio that they need in the app of saying the Vanongan words. So just like I am able to use, you know, I played sports in high school so I can help coach and play against our students. I play the drums, so I play the drums at our worship services. I've taught students how to play the drums. Just like I'm able to use my extra gifts other than teaching math, so are translators. He's super into tech and was able to be like, yeah, I can totally translate and like rewire and work the app. Yeah, daughter, come record, help us out, right? Like, it's super cool. All right. Last video, yeah, I have one more video for us, and this is another extracurricular of our CAM department, construction and maintenance, showing what they are able to do and how they are able to help Bible translation through construction. Oh wait, pause in case it breaks. We'll just open it from here. Hold.
You need to bring it to the forefront.
Oh. You guys.
It's not helpful.
You guys. Didn't I just... just talked about how I love technology. Come back. There we go.
Sila house nipla walking into the trip la week and the mouth floor. Tupla Yakla Mary Rebecca and Jesse walk law down the office here.
And we have been started to SIL, Presenta, Taxi Bank today, another Kibian. And next day, we have a long more yet a meter flow trip a track, we have been one time.
Na mes na e pla di ye kam reke na mo pla an lo de mo ka u bon sekyen no na wan full aus material mo pla lo de mo bon sekyen e pla di ye na mo pla kare kon sa tim 1 hour 30 minutes reke mo pla lo for na tablo di ko lo sa pai a mi pla sta lo bis mi pla sa mo ki like but a mi pla go out there. Lo mío de mi experiencia, o sea, walking with us, o mi plan más, o para el time frame where department se limpa.
Mi plan más lo voy a walk, en esa clínica, no gato malo, rezar lo walk, en esa clínica. Matita, toque mi plan, o que voy a
Amen.
Mi amas, lo mi, mi go, na lo que inglés. Mi plan no, sabe lo que, no, no, I wanted something. With a working friends want them all boys every year. I'm not breaking, I'm not working on this. I'm so kind of sense for the guy, kind of some feel at home, and I must be stopped.
Because I knew a math work, man. Because I like this is the experience of work. And you got working sick work, like it's actually so. And you are thinking about it.
You even painted, man.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Yeah, and so that was the house that was built for Rebecca and Jesse. Rebecca and Jesse have been in PNG since I've been there in 2012, and their house has just gotten built in their village allocation so that they can go and stay there for long periods of time, do language learning, work with the local people to begin the translation process. And and so the two men, and by the way, you see this SIL, Wycliffe partners with SIL, so Wycliffe sends the people, and SIL is like the framework for everything that happens in linguistics and stuff like that. So it's two partner organizations where Wycliffe sends the people to SIL to work. So that's why you're seeing SIL and not Wycliffe in places, but they're together. So, yeah. All right. I have inundated you with media. So does anybody have any questions about anything? Anything pique your interest? Any whys or what is that? Or what was happening?
So when do you plan to go back?
I'm hoping to go back early first week of January to be back for the second semester of school. We have three math teachers, and the two of them are covering all the math classes right now. But when the three of us are there, we can each teach math and then an extra electives. There it is. Electives that the kids need. So right now they don't have electives that they normally offer because someone's covering. Yes.
What does SIL stand for?
It used to stand for the Summer Institute of Linguistics, because when it was formed back in the 30s, they had a summer, as it was, institute, where translators would come together, learn all they could, and then go back out. But now it has just bloomed into this big organization. It's not the summer anymore, so it's just SIL now. Yeah.
And what is the cost, the support cost for a year?
For me, it depends on the family, and it depends on the organization. Right now, for me, my budget was $2,400 a month to live over there. So just through, because we have to have insurance, we have to have medevac insurance and stuff like that. And yeah, and then 20, so they make you have a budget, and oftentimes they make mine a little too high because they just can't believe, oh, you can't be that frugal. Oh. So then I'm able to take that extra and we give offerings over there. So the pilot was able to go help and get that pregnant woman because we have a fund that is the Medevac Fund. And we as missionaries are able to tithe into that fund on our center and go from there and things like that. So I'm able to tithe and give to things like that over there when my budget is too high.
All right, let's give Leah a big hand. Leah, we're so proud of you. And it's amazing all the things that you end up... And I can relate to that in many ways, but anyway, so cool. And it reminds me back when I was a youth pastor, and you're just doing all kinds of things. Anyway, by the way, there's a table out there after church you can go by, and if you want to support... Leah, our church supports her. We just upped the amount we're giving to her a little bit because every little bit helps. And like she said, she needs X amount of money to be able to go back there. So that's why she comes to churches and to see if people can help her. So.
And there's on the table, there's also a sign up. If you give me your email, then I can get you my newsletters. That I